You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
Well, if you've got your Bibles, your smartphones, your iPads, you're following along, all of our notes are there. We're going to do this message in two parts. We're going to come back on Father's Day and talk about fathers provoke not your children. And then we'll come back on a later occasion and talk about how to honor God in our work. So don't think that we have skipped over some verses here in Colossians intentionally, that we're just forgetting them, but we are looking at those at a different juncture. But this morning I want us to see some verses from Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Let me ask you this question. What do you think of when you hear this expression, inside out and outside in? Inside out and outside in. There's several things that come to my mind. When I wash my jeans, and sometimes I wash them, sometimes I put them in the basket and Liz washes them for me. But I turn my jeans inside out because I don't want them to fade. So I turn them inside out to keep the color on the inside. That's what I think of, turning it inside out. Or I think of shirt comes out of the dryer and it's inside out and I got to turn it right side out. And those kinds of expression. When I hear inside, outside, I can't help. And I guess it's from living in California for a number of years. I can't help but think of In-N-Out Burger. Anybody here ever experienced In-N-Out Burger? Come on. It was our favorite. I did notice this week, I don't know if you saw the survey. The last 2 years, America's favorite burger, and it's ironic to me because it's only on the West Coast. I believe there's some in Arizona, and I think there's some in Texas now. But In-N-Out has been America's favorite burger for 2 years running. But this year, it's Five Guys is the new number one. So we have it right here in the South as well. It's an East Coast thing, but we don't have In-N-Out here in the South. I heard this not pertain to anything, but I read something recently. I thought it was really good. You know, people give the South, they give us a lot of grief for different things, but you never hear of anybody retiring and moving north. Everybody wants to move south, so it's a good thing. It's a great place. Amen? Sure it is. The word inside, what's it make you think of? I think of insider. I had to look it up because I hadn't seen it in a long time, and they do a lot of stuff online now, but I thought of Inside Edition. It's been going since 1989. It's celebrity gossip, but they're still producing episodes of Inside Edition. When you think of inside, I thought of insider trading. There's some insider trading that's actually legal. Stock officers of a corporation can do certain things, but there's also an illegal insider training or trading. But inside out and outside in. Well, the Bible talks about that. The Bible talks about insiders and the Bible talks about outsiders. And it's interesting, I never saw that before till this week, till studying this passage of Scripture. It's fascinating. But look at Colossians chapter 4 and verses 2 through 6. It says this, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I'm in prison, that I may make it clear, which is which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards, say it with me, outsiders. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. According to the Bible, there are two kinds of people. You know, we classify people big and small, tall and short, rich and poor, in towners, out of towners. But really, and you can go on, you know, there's all kinds. There's some people, you have your own hip, and there's some of us that have new hips. You only wish you had a new hip, I know. There's all kinds of classifications of people. But according to Scripture, really, there's only two kinds of people. They're insiders. And there's outsiders. There's insiders and there's outsiders. Those who are inside the kingdom of God and those who are outside God's kingdom. Mark chapter 4, verse 11. What's this? It's fascinating, this word outside, and just never catching it. But look at this. And he said to them, to you has been given the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables or in stories. To put it simply, insiders could be called believers. Believers. We use that expression, don't we? We'll say, you know, they're a believer. It's an expression that we use. Insiders are believers or Christians, Christ followers, Christ-like, little Christ. A word that we use a lot, Christ followers. But it's those who have trusted Christ for their salvation. They are insiders. Now, listen to me. That doesn't mean superiority. It means this, that we are inside God's family. So if we're inside God's family, we have trusted Christ, we have said yes to Jesus, then who are the outsiders? Who are the outsiders? They are the unbelievers. It's not that they're not unknowing, it's that they're unbelieving. It's the non-Christian. Or how about this? How about this word? Pre-believers. They are pre-believers. And I could say pre-believers on several levels. Pre-believers praying that they're going to become believers, amen? But pre-believers, because the Bible says this, that one day every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Listen to me. Everyone will believe in Jesus. Everyone will ultimately believe in Jesus. That doesn't mean that they'll be saved. It doesn't mean that they will spend eternity in heaven. It means that, see, there are some that will not believe until they die and until they stand at the judgment of Christ. And when we stand before the judgment of Christ, those who never believed and they die in unbelief, they will stand before the judgment of Christ. And at the judgment of Christ, the Bible says they will believe. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. See, it's just a matter of when. Now, this message is not politically correct. There is this incredible movement in people's minds. It's the gospel of Oprah. that multitudes of millions believe that there are multiple ways to heaven and that ultimately everyone goes to heaven. And listen, do not be deceived. There is one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ the Lord. No other name given whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. But in this politically correct world, it's like whatever gets you there, believe whatever, ultimately you get to God, you're good, you get to heaven. Let me tell you something. There's no one that can pray you out of hell or pray you out of limbo or give enough money. Eternity will be decided on this side of death. That's what the Bible, God's word, teaches us. Are you with me this morning? And so it's imperative that we understand this. The decisions that we make in this life will affect the life to come. So God wants these unbelievers to believe while they're still alive. Now, here's God's plan. This isn't the Island Church's plan. We didn't come up with it. It's God's plan. And it becomes our plan because it's God's plan. But this is God's design. Here's what it is. Here's God's plan to get the pre-believers, the unbelievers, to become believers. God's plan is to get insiders to go out and to impact outsiders with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, I'll wait for the shouts to die down here, okay? God's plan is to get insiders out to get outsiders in. Amen. Now, listen, those are two separate thoughts. Get insiders out, one thought. Get outsiders in is the second thought. But it's a cohesive plan. See, God wants those on the outside to come into his kingdom. He wants the lost child to come home. He wants the prodigal to be back in the family. Expressions in the Bible. He wants that lost lamb to be back in the flock. There's some people that teach only a limited number of folks make it to heaven. Only 144,000 or only this or that we don't know. You know what's awesome about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We can know that we know that we know that we are children of God. The Bible says his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Isn't that awesome? And so today, listen, there's people here, you wonder, there's fear. Fear of going to hell, fear that you're not saved. Usually we have that fear because we are operating on a works mentality and we think we need to do more works. We're not good enough. No, it's not our goodness, it's God's grace. For by grace are you saved. It's the gift of God and it's not of man, because if it was, then we'd be bragging what we've done. But we can't do it. It's his gift. Amen? Sure. The Bible tells us this in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, some count slowness, but is patient towards you. How many are glad God's patient? Oh, come on now. How many are glad that God, when we mess up, and some people think he's like this cosmic killjoy that's just ready to buzz you as soon as. How many are glad he's patient with us? You know what I have discovered the last 2.5 weeks? It's an epiphany for me. 2.5 weeks ago, I had a radical hip replacement. I have a rod shooting down my leg about that far and a new ball and socket. I'm 2.5 weeks into this. I feel good. Watch this. Look, that's a run, okay? I'm doing great, except for the fact if I drop something on the ground, I can't reach down and pick it up. And so I got this little thing and I got to pick up stuff. I got out of my truck Saturday morning at the restaurant for breakfast and I had my phone between my legs and I do that way too. Anybody ever put your phone between your legs and you forget and you get out, boom, phone drops. Anybody ever done that? Liar, liar, who has done that? And so I'm like, how? That dropped out and a golf ball. Now I knew how I was going to get my golf ball. I had my putter in my truck. So I was going to scoop it up with my putter. But I asked an old woman over here if she'd come help this strong young man. I said, ma'am, I have my hip replaced. I can't bend over. Would you please pick up my phone? She looked at me like, are you going to rob me? And she picked up my phone for me. I said, I'm sorry. It's so hard to be helpless. I can't cross this leg over like that. And I can't bend over and I can't turn certain ways because they don't want me to dislocate it. Outside, and I have to do that for 4 more weeks. It's going to be a total of about 8 weeks before I can play golf. And I'm only 2.5 weeks into this. And I'm going crazy. It's like, oh my goodness. There's only so many Netflix series a guy can watch. The staff, I haven't been back to the office yet, but I've written about a book on things that I want to change. I got so creative. I just write lists. We're doing this, we're doing this, we're doing this. I'm preaching this right now because some of them are here. I just want you to know, beware. Things are changing. But I've discovered I'm not a very patient person. But I'm glad God's patient. Now listen to this. He is patient towards you, which means he's given us time. He's working, not wishing that any should perish, but all should reach repentance. God wants everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, if you're outside, listen to me, all across this room, if you are outside God's family, he wants you on the inside. You're not here by accident. He loves you. He has a plan, a purpose. Life is short. He wants you to be on the inside now so you'll be a part of the kingdom for eternity. Let me ask you this. How many of you have a family member? How many of you have a friend? A coworker? Someone you go to school with, a neighbor, and you know they're on the outside. You know they need Jesus. Every one of us in this room, do you know this? Every one of us in this room were one time on the outside. Now that we're on the inside, we see. How do we go about? I know it's rhetorical, but humor me. How many of you know you have a family member, a friend, a coworker, someone you go to school with, someone you work out with, acquaintance, but you know they are on the outside? Here's the question. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? In this passage of Scripture, the Lord gives us two things. We're going to deal with one of them this morning. But the Lord gives us a two-step strategy. And it's simply this. It's real simple. But is it being followed? Are we obedient to this? It's first of all, we pray. And then we engage in conversation. Here's what I would challenge you with this morning. Discover the importance of prayer. From the Message, Luke 5 and 16. How about this? Don't try to lead, labor, and love without the power only prayer can produce. Again from the Message. Lord, would you speak this to our heart right now? Could this be a catalyst to change our mindset, how we live life, how we look at people? Lord, would you let your anointing be so real to help my inadequacies as a communicator, that by the Holy Spirit, you would make this alive in people's hearts in this room this morning. What do we do? Number one is this. Watch and pray for outsiders. Now let me say this. How many of you would just like to say, thank you, Jesus, I'm an insider. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you that I know you. Thank you that you knocked on my heart. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you for making me a new creation in Jesus Christ. How many would like to say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me? Amen. We are to watch and pray for outsiders. Now, see, I know this message, it's a little, it seems a little harsh to even use the word insider, outsider. And I debated that. Because sometimes we think, well, it just doesn't seem politically correct to say they're outside, I'm inside. The Bible talks about these outsiders. It talks about us being in the kingdom, insiders. Colossians 4, verses 2 and 3 says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ on the account for which I am in prison. Pray diligently. Stay alert. Have your eyes wide open with gratitude. Don't forget to pray that God's going to open doors for telling the mystery of Christ. Paul is saying, pray that every time my mouth is open, I will be able to make Christ plain as day to them. Listen closely. I got to hustle. We have just a few minutes. Prayer is not just an audible out loud or quiet in our heart conversation with God. Listen to this. Write this down. This is tweetable. It is a secret weapon for the salvation of the lost. John Piper wrote this. Prayer is not designed as an intercom between God and us to serve the domestic comforts of the saints. Now, let me stop right there. The domestic comforts of the saints. Because we automatically think, well, we're to pray, give us this day our daily bread, and God made all, yes, he's made promises, and yes, he provides for his people. But there's something interesting I want you to note. That when the Apostle Paul wrote this, he's in prison, and his prayer request, don't pray for me to get out of prison. That was not the prayer request. His prayer request was pray for those on the outside and pray that they will hear the gospel. Pray that I'm going to have opportunity to talk to someone. I want you to grab a hold of that. His heart. His desire, he was more concerned with the lost than he was his own comfort. And American Christianity prays, praise God, give me God, give me God, give me God, I want, God, I want, God, I want, God, I need. And one of the least prayers that's ever prayed is, God, help me to see the lost. God, help me to win a soul. And that was Paul's first prayer. Piper goes on, it's designed, prayer is designed as a walkie-talkie for spiritual battlefields. It is a link between active soldiers and their command headquarters. With its unlimited fire power and air cover and strategic wisdom. Now listen to this. When you understand this, you can pray the locks off of people's hearts. Oh, I love that. How many want to get more prayers answered? Then pray, God's kingdom come, God's will be done. What is God's will? That none should perish, but all should come to eternal life. That we pray for souls, we're going to get more prayers answered. This concept of watch and pray was first used in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah said, 4:9, and we prayed to our God and set up a guard. So they prayed and they set up a guard as protection. See, they were building the temple back. They were being attacked. So they had to learn how to watch and pray. It's interesting. That's what Scripture tells us. Being watchful. Being watchful. What's he saying? Look around at those that are on the outside. Recognize who they are. Don't live oblivious to the lostness of human race, the human people, the literal souls that are all around us. Be watchful. I don't know where we ever got the custom of closing our eyes to pray. I suppose we do it as being respectful, but the expression to close your eyes in prayer and pray is not found in the Bible. Kneeling to pray, praying while you're laying on your face before God, praying while standing and praying with hands outstretched, but you don't find praying with your eyes closed. I want to make a spiritual application. Spiritually speaking, we must pray with our eyes wide open. What's that mean? Spiritually speaking, we're seeing what God is doing and we're watching. Because the enemy is always trying to undermine the will of God. So we are watching. If you know someone who's on the outside and you're praying for them to become on the inside, let me tell you this. Don't just ask God to save them. That's a good start. But ask God to remove the obstacles that's blocking their way to God. 2 Corinthians 4:4 said, in their case, talking about outsiders, now watch this, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers, those on the outside, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of Christ. Watch me. I know the band's getting in place. We're going to sing. We're going to close. But I want you to hear this. A person who has not yet believed in Jesus, they're at a disadvantage. And here's why. There's a spiritual adversary who is trying to throw obstacles into the pathway of God. And so when you pray, allow the Holy Spirit to bring things to your heart and mind. But here's things that I pray for those that would have a rebellious spirit. See, we're all rebellious. I'm very rebellious. I've got a rebellious heart. I have to crucify that thing. So God, I pray against that rebellion. I know rebellion's as a sin of witchcraft. And God, I know that's the enemy. Now, you don't go up to that person. Have some common sense. Don't be stupid. Don't go up and say, I've been praying that that rebellious spirit of yours would get out of you. Don't do that. Look at me. Don't be super spiritual and don't do that. But in your prayer closet, God, I pray that where there's rebellion against you, I rebuke it. I pray against it. God, cause there to be openness. Pray against the addiction that they may have. Lord, that drugs, alcohol, or pornography, hobbies, sports, whatever addiction, food, whatever the addiction of their life, that they're just concerned. God, I pray that they would discover true meaning. They're trying to fill a void with stuff. There's those that have intellectual pride, those that have spiritual pride. Churches in America this morning are full of people who know it here, think they know God, but they're headed straight for hell because they, a church member, they've been baptized, they've gone through growth track, they've gone through catechism, they've gone through a ritual and a rigmarole, but they have never experienced a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord, that spiritual pride be broken. Wrong friends. God, let these obstacles fall from them. God, that is our prayer. Start with praying. And then do this and pray that God would bring someone to their life. Now, next week or the following, we'll talk about how God wants to use us. But if you've got a lost son or daughter, how many have discovered that sometimes the hardest person to reach are the people that's closest to us? Yeah. And sometimes the best thing we can do is keep our mouth shut to them, but to pray fervently. Amen. Listen, when our kids were younger, when they were going through some things, Liz and I have anointed their bed, anointed their room, put anointing oil over their door, put anointing oil on the TV, anointed their pillows. Pray, 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 and believe that God's going to bring someone into their life that's going to speak into them to confirm things they've heard from mom and dad, a husband and wife, grandpa, grandma, a friend. But that God, who knows? Here's what I've also discovered. Usually it's multiple opportunities. I was thinking about this. You know, what if you give someone our little invite card? Ushers, why don't we get our invite cards out? When people leave, take those invite cards and spread them all over town. And someone sees that and they give it thought. And maybe they're going down 59 or the expressway, or we've got one over on the beach road over in Florida. We put up these signs, "You matter here, the Island Church." Anybody seen them? And they see that card and they think, that sign, theislandchurch.tv, and maybe they listen to a message and maybe someone invites them to church and they come in and they hear a God. Who knows how many contacts? But God is at work setting them up to become insiders, taking them from the outside and bringing them in. Amen. 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 Begin to pray that God's going to set up the situation, because with God, all things are possible. Amen. Amen. Lord, I love you. I believe that today, in the name of Jesus, that you're wanting us to begin to pray with passion, wanting us to begin to have eyes, watchful eyes, to see the strategy of the enemy, to pray against the stronghold, and to see outsiders become insiders. Lord, I'm praying genuine revival. It's not just a bunch of manifestations. It is people who were once lost, but now they are found. Father, I'm praying today that folks who have been blind will no longer be blind, but that they will come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.